Hi, everybody. I'm Maury Povich. On my podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, I'm going to sit down with the icons, the stars, and the faces at the very center of today's big cultural moments. With everyone from comedians Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, Leanne Morgan, to newsmakers Don Lemon, Joy Reid, Aaron Parnas, and so many more. So join me for new episodes every week, because nothing is off limits. Great conversations. They're always on par. Follow and listen to On Par with Maury Povich wherever you get your podcasts.
He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, who shows this? And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I am Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider, as well as lead Lakers content creator for Offside, joined on this fine Tuesday night by Rob Pelinka and JJ Redick. No, they are not actually going to be on the show, but they spoke earlier today, and I grabbed the entirety of that press conference. And I figured it would be kind of fun to go through that press conference and watch it with you guys. From time to time, I'll hit pause. I'll give my thoughts on one of their quotes, stuff like that. But this was an important one and a press conference that I walked away more confident from. So I think it'll be a fun exercise, a good exercise that you guys will enjoy. As a reminder, this show is brought to you in part by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA and play a $5 lineup using that promo code and get $50 worth of promo codes when you do so on Prize Picks. Hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, turn on notifications for the show and for YouTube so you get the notifications for the show. And then if you guys are listening to the show in the morning via podcast, please hit subscribe wherever it is that you get them, preferably on Odyssey, but they all count the same to me. Sorry, I blanked a second because I saw this. This is a fair rebuttal. Legardo, LOL, confident in Pelinka in the same sentence. Fair. Absolutely fair. Let's go ahead and dive on in. All right, let's see if I could do this. We're going to go down here, find the media presentation slide. There we go.
Morning, everybody. Welcome. Appreciate everybody being here. The way the NBA season unfolds, like, of course, last night around 10 o'clock, JJ and I didn't know if we'd be here talking to you guys or on a plane headed to OKC for game five. That's just sort of how the nature of the season goes. But we're here and excited to be here to address your questions. I think in terms of the season, a lot to be proud of in terms of back-to-back 50-win seasons, but certainly nothing that we're satisfied about. This is a market with championship expectations, and now begins the process for leadership here, JJ, myself, to deconstruct the things in the season that went well, and then to look at the parts of the season that we can elevate and bring to the next level. And we're going to be incredibly process-oriented about that, working closely with the front office staff upstairs, with the coaching staff, to deliver a product and a roster next season that our Lakers fans can be incredibly excited about. And honored by. So that work begins now for our partnership, now that JJ's head shifts from trying to beat a team to preparing for the offseason. Of course, myself, the amazing people that work upstairs, this is something we've been working on for months and are excited now to present and collaborate with Coach Redick and his staff around. But that process of deconstruction for us starts today after getting through what we did last night.
All right. So a few things that I wanted to call to your attention right from the get-go. One, Rob Pelinka, just like last thing he said before we hit pause here, he talked about how this is something that they have been working on for months and they are excited to present to JJ Redick. I would, based on like the conversations I have had and the framing that has been presented to me, both by team and league sources, the plan for this offseason has been in place for years, not for months. And there is some flexibility to that plan. There is some malleability to those plans because of some of the performances that we saw from various Lakers over the course of the season and over the course of the postseason. This is something that Rob Pelinka is asked about specifically with Rui Hachimura a little bit later in the presser. But I guess when he talks about how this is a plan that they have had in place for months and they're excited to present it to JJ Redick, it's good to hear. It's good to hear that he's talking about this from a process standpoint. It's nice that we haven't heard about optionality quite yet in the presser. That is good to see. Also nice that he's not wearing a leather jacket with 73 zippers. That was a fun development for probably only myself.
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
But yeah, I'm... when I heard about, you know, the focus on process and this being an organized approach that dates back as far back as I know that it dates back, but also with, you know, the mention of this being something that they've been working on for months, that would indicate to me that this is a somewhat altered plan. So for those of you who are hoping that LeBron James is back, I think this kind of introduction to the press conference and them talking about this as something they have been working on for months, I think that kind of lends itself to some of that flexibility to be able to have a conversation with LeBron and hopefully land on a number that makes sense for LeBron and makes sense for the Lakers.
In terms of the playoffs, I think we all know the playoffs are about matchups and about roster fullness. We ran into the defending champs. I'm very, very proud of how resilient our team was, how hard our guys fought. The results of the series, again, is never satisfactory. We're here to win and to win in those series. Having a less than full roster is never an excuse in this business. It's just a
why does Pelinka look like a look like a Disney villain? He looks like the bad guy from Big Hero 6, right? Or like the first guy that you think is the bad guy, the good looking, well put together, kind of schmarmy tech billionaire who wants to buy the main character's, you know, product, you know, right at the top for like pennies on the dollar. I think to a certain extent, like that is just kind of part of Pelinka's character, but it is always funny when more people start to recognize it.
Circumstance, and in this case, an adverse circumstance that came our way. But our job as leaders is when we face adverse circumstances is to learn from those and get stronger and better. And I think there's a lot to be proud of with how JJ and his staff led us through a first round series with a couple of our best players not available for most of the series. you know, beating the Rockets was great. And then having a series with OKC, that there were moments in every game where you could see the competitive nature of this group and think to what it might have been if we were a full roster. So that's kind of our recap. We are grateful and honored to be here, to be leaders here, to do the work here, and to share our thoughts today with you guys who also work so hard to cover us and want to cover us accurately. So here to really take your questions about the season, the off season. I'll get on a plane when we're done with player exit meetings today, head to the combine. We have the 25th pick, and so the work around the draft is starting now. But wanted to meet with you guys first before all that begins. So thank you for being here.
Hey, Rob. JJ's talked throughout the season just about how.
Also, really quickly, some quick context on this presser. It was a small number of reporters who knew about this. This was kind of not thrown together or whatever. You know, this obviously it's well presented. These guys were well prepared for this presser. But as far as like the number of people who were in attendance for this thing compared to typical, you know, pressers of this variety, this was quite a bit smaller than usual, is what I'm kind of told. It was also kind of telling. Normally with a presser like this, I would get an email, or all of us, excuse me, all of us who cover this team, and are on their, you know, press media list would have gotten an email saying presser at, I think this was at 10 a.m. Pacific time, at the UCLA Health Center, you know, and then they would kind of walk you through the steps of how you could gain access to that presser. This time, no such email was sent. This was, I think, more for the people who cover this team on a night-by-night basis, talking beat reporters and a small circle of them. And so it led to, it made me wonder if that made these guys more comfortable, because this was, I think, as well put together, as well prepared for this kind of a deal as I have seen these two. I do think there is something to the idea that both of them are improving on the job, are learning on the job, and hopefully that transfers over and translates over to their abilities on the job. But in this specifically, this was one of their better joint appearances. And I think the setting kind of lent itself to it.
There have all been almost different stages of it, where first it's without LeBron and then Luka and Austin both miss significant time. Obviously, most recently with Luka. Is there a through line to what you saw as to these are the needs for this team moving forward, despite sort of how truncated that was? And with Luka at the centerpiece of that, as you look to build the roster going into the offseason?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think I use the word deconstruction. We're going to be in the process of breaking all that down and learning from it and not rush to any judgments. I think our team and our roster had three quarterbacks on it in LeBron and Luka and Austin. And that's, in some sense, a luxury that we had different guys that could make plays in different in different parts of the season. And it also creates its own set of stuff for JJ to figure out when you have three players that can make plays. But I think all in all, an amazing job at fitting all of that together, and then the response of those players and playing different roles throughout the season and having an evolution themselves was incredibly impressive, and to me was just a sign of the humility of the individuals involved to make sacrifices and to play a certain way so that the team could have success and win.
So that quote right there, especially there at the tail end, talking about humility and acceptance of roles, sacrifice, yada, yada, yada. That's about LeBron. And I think he's right to single out LeBron. I wish he would have done it by name and said we have one of the two or three, you know, he probably would say three because of his feelings toward Kobe. But like you're talking about like a top two
if not one player ever, who is still somehow, some way, a very productive NBA player, accepting from basically March on, or throughout all of March, a role that focused on defense and spacing and finishing, much less creation, a lot more get dirty and dive on the floor for loose balls. And LeBron was great at that. And the Lakers were at their best when that became LeBron's focus. So at the very top of the show, I talked about how, you know, Rob said this is a plan that has been months in the making here. When he follows that up by talking about humility and sacrifice and an ability to oscillate between roles, the combination of those two things says to me, at the very least, that the Lakers are far more open to LeBron returning than they were, say, at the beginning of the season, when there was a lot more question, I believe, about whether LeBron would accept that role or thrive in that role or revel in that role, and whether the Lakers would be able to sell him on it, whether JJ Redick would be able to sell him on it. So I thought that I really, really, really wish he would have said, look who did all of that. But at the very least, acknowledging that player X was willing to do that, or player X, Y, or Z was willing to do that, it's good to know that he was aware of this and is willing to acknowledge it, at least in this indirect way.
And then one for JJ. I remember this time last year, you were kind of excited for that first off season, you know, where you had a real off season to plan, to figure things out. Just how would you describe this whole year for you with the growth of it, and then now going into year three, like how different that might be from the previous?
Yeah, I would say the accumulation of intrinsic knowledge, it can compound. And so the first off season I had as a head coach was not really an off season. It was building my coaching staff, building our systems, building our languages. Last off season, I got to do some work, and I think I just said to Rob upstairs, the work that I did and the work that my staff did, it prepared us to be better coaches this year. And it allowed us, I think, to have a lot of growth. And I part of my job is to make sure my players get better and make sure my players can perform, but it's also to make sure the 17 people that are up there are getting better too. And I think to a person, each one of them got better, and we're all excited about getting better this offseason and being in a position when next season starts to have another year of growth.
Rob, good morning. Your two longest tenured Lakers were arguably your two most important players in game 92 last night, and LeBron James and Austin Reeves. And not to publicly negotiate, but just, do you want both those guys back on the team next year?
Yeah. Good morning, Dave. I'll sort of take them one at a time. I think in terms of LeBron, we probably haven't seen a player that has honored the game to the extent that he's honored the game. He's given so much to his teammates, to this organization. And the thing we want to do more than anything else is honor him back. And I think the first order of business there is allowing him to spend the time he needs to decide what his next step are. Does he want to play another year in the NBA? And that'll be, as he said to you guys last night, family time, I think time with his inner circle. And we just want to honor that for him. Of course, any team, including ours, would love to have LeBron James on their roster. That's a blessing in itself, just with what he does.
That is the most, like, as far as the terms upon which he is putting them, this is the most explicit terms that we've seen here from Rob Pelinka about the Lakers wanting LeBron back, right? Like, they want, you know, the all year it has been, they'd be asked about it, whether it's Genie, whether it's Rob, whether it's whoever, asking about LeBron's future with the Lakers. And the kind of boilerplate answer that they've been giving is it's LeBron's decision. He's a free agent. He's this, he's that. This is the first time really that I've heard the words in order of the Lakers want LeBron James back. And it's funny, over the course of the year, this is something that I had done a lot of reporting on over the course of it, was that LeBron's people and Lakers people, they both started to realize over the course of the year, shit, we do need each other. And you know, there was this begrudging acceptance of that, I think, early on. And then especially as we entered March and as the team really kind of took the steps forward that they took together. And again, Rob talking about the humility and the sacrifice involved in LeBron accepting the role that he did and how that led to the success that the Lakers enjoyed. You know, that was something that, you know, led directly to not just that begrudging acceptance that maybe we had seen earlier in the year, but also kind of an excitement about it. Like, whoa, this is working, right? Like, hold on. This is kind of neat. 16-2, top 10 in offense and defense. It's been a very interesting process there, and one that I've tried to chart out for you guys over the course of the season. And I think here as we approach the off season, there is a lot more like I think it was producer Brian asked in the Lakers Lounge Slack, what are the chances that this is the last game, this before yesterday? What are the chances this is the last game we ever see LeBron James in a Laker uniform? And I put it at 25%. I think it's a 75% chance that LeBron James is back with the Lakers next year. It's always been moving in this direction. I think the way that he carried the Lakers through Houston to even give Austin a chance at getting back into it. You listen to the way that Austin and Luka talk about having LeBron there in the locker room and how important it is to them to have him around and how much they've enjoyed playing with him. You kind of combine it all, and there is no easy way to replace him if you let him walk out right. If you let him walk out right, he's probably going to play on a way cheaper contract for a team that you might eventually meet either in the playoffs or in the finals, and that's not something just game theorying this out that you want. And lastly, you know, the family ties here. You have Bronny already on the roster. He has made, I think he made a very big step forward in his career this year, where he was playing rotation minutes there for a segment of the season and looked like he belonged out there. It didn't quite look like he belonged in the postseason, but that's honestly fine. He's a 55th pick in what, his second year, so not many guys, you know, with that background look very good in the postseason anyway. But like earlier this year, when the Lakers were kind of, when their guard room was decimated and he stepped in and he played and he kind of got after it more defensively, it did look like LeBron one, gained a pep in his step by way of seeing Bronny out there, but also two, like Bronny playing makes it a lot easier to be like, all right, well, if we keep LeBron, that means we also have to have a roster spot there for Bronny. And if Bronny is playable, and he showed this season he was playable, if he goes from playable this year to a rotation player next year, and on top of that, you get to keep LeBron and a role that we've already seen him excel in this year, I just think, you know, we're talking about a partnership that makes sense for all involved. And, you know, you add Savannah really enjoying living in L.A. Jury is you know, there in school in L.A., in high school there in L.A., and you have Bryce in college at Arizona. That's a nice quick flight for the James family if they want to go catch one of his games. I just think it makes the most sense for all involved. And I think, you know, Rob's responses so far and the way he's kind of talked about LeBron, whether that be directly in this question or indirectly earlier, this tells me that I think we can, I'm writing his name at least in pencil on the roster next season. If he's going to play, we'll see if he decides to continue playing, but I think if he does, it'll be as a Laker.
In terms of Austin, Austin Reeves started his NBA odyssey actually with the Lakers on that court right over there. I remember it was a draft workout. In fact, I was talking to Austin last night. He was having a pregame meal talking about how drained and exhausted he was by the draft workout process and that somehow he mustered strength to have a great Lakers workout. I remember actually being here with my son on that court watching that, which is one of the turning points of getting him here, just that workout and how he approached it. But he started his journey here as a Laker and has made it very clear to us that he wants his journey to continue as a Laker. And we feel the same way. We want his odyssey to continue to unfold in the purple and gold. As you know, Dave, there's rules and timing to all of that, but I think both sides have made it abundantly clear that we want to work something out where he continues his prolific career here.
I would be shocked if Austin is not a Laker next year.
Bye, everyone.
What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.